If you look at a first edition of the King James Bible, you may be shocked to notice that it's really difficult to read. It almost looks like a different language altogether because so many of the letters have changed their formation and so many of the spellings have changed too since 1611. Well, by the 1650s, they had come out with yet another printing of a revised edition of the King James. And one of those printings that was done, the typesetter got a little bit mischievous. And so in Exodus, where you have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, he left the noughts out. And it got past the editor, and so over 1,000 copies of this Bible with the Ten Commandments leaving out the noughts got printed and distributed. It happens to be one of the rarest copies of the King James that you can find today. There are very few copies of it left because once they discovered the mistake that the Bible was essentially saying, thou shalt steal and thou shalt covet thy neighbor's wife, they left out the noughts, remember, they withdrew it from printing, and they tried to collect those that had already been sent out, but it was too late. There were quite a few already in circulation. Well, today there are very few of them left. They're in some private collections, they're in a few museums, and a couple of churches in England still have it in their pulpit. It's an interesting peculiarity, and every time there's a new publication of a new copy of the Bible, there are always typographical errors to be found in the earliest editions. Even with the advent of computers, that's true. I have here in my hands a first edition print of the New Revised Standard Edition. The Old Testament was edited by Dr. Roland Murphy, who taught me Hebrew in graduate school. And so he signed it. And I like to jokingly say I have the signature of one of the authors of the Bible in the front of my Bible here. This is a collector's edition for two reasons. Firstly, because it has Dr. Roland Murphy's signature in it. And secondly, because there's a typographical error in today's reading. Now, I had to pay attention to what I was reading to read it correctly. Here is how it sounds in a typo, beginning at verse 11. Later, the other bridesmaids came also. Say replied, truly I tell you, I do not knowing, Lord, Lord, open to us, but he you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. First time I read that was 6 years ago in worship. And I read through that and looked up at my congregation and at Cockrell Hill, and they looked at me, and I said, there's something wrong there, isn't there? What happened was they skipped two lines, inverted the lines, and then skipped back. So you have to skip a line, read it, then move back up and read the line you skipped, then move two lines down to read the last line. It is very confusing. That was free, by the way. That has nothing to do with today's message. Or maybe it does. Because frequently, when we are trying to do what God has called us to do, when we're trying to be the people that God has called us to be, when we try with our best effort to accomplish God's will in our lives, frequently we make mistakes. Frequently we fail to do what we're supposed to do. Frequently we fall asleep at the wheel. And today in our story from Matthew's Gospel, we have an account of two groups of people, the bridesmaids. We are the bridesmaids. Hear that, Gene? Both of you? Now we got a lot of Genes in this congregation. Guys, we are bridesmaids. Women, you are too. We are all of us bridesmaids. And the story says there's two groups. There's the foolish and the wise. There are five foolish wise maids. Now, there we go. I did it again. There are five foolish bridesmaids. Five of them. who, when they took their lamps, didn't take any oil. And there are five wise bridesmaids who, when they took their lamps, did take their oil. Now, if you're going to be, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that from time to time, these candles, which are not real wax candles, they have, is it oil or wax inside? Oil. And as it burns, the oil thingy comes up until finally, when you run out of oil, the candle doesn't burn. All you get is a faint little flicker off of the wick. And I've noticed from time to time that during a service or in the evening service, suddenly one of these candles will go down to nothing, and the other one will keep burning. When that happens, there's no oil there. And for some reason, the five foolish bridesmaids took their candles, but didn't, took their lamps, but didn't take any oil. All they had, apparently, was what was in the lamp from the last time it was used. Oops. If you want a lamp to burn, you have to have oil. One day I was in North Carolina, and I pastored four churches out in the eastern part of the state: Pine Tops, Temperance Hall, McKendree, and Marvin. And a friend of mine came with me one Sunday, and we were engaged in a real hearty theological debate coming back from church after having preached in those four churches. I preached at 8, 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. I'm going to tell you, I either loved my sermon or I hated it, or I changed it by the second time I preached it. Anyway, we were heading back to Durham from my appointment from the four churches out in the eastern part of the state. And on the way back, we went through Wake Forest. And in Wake Forest is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I'm telling you, my friends, we are in the middle of Baptist country, where there are more Baptists than there are people. Literally, because I had a couple of church members at McKendree who were members of McKendree United Methodist Church and members of two other Baptist churches. There were more Baptists than there were people. Anyway, we were arguing on some theological point, I forget what it is now, and we'd just gone past Southeastern Baptist Theological and just pulled out of Wake Forest heading towards Raleigh. And suddenly, I ran out of gas. Now, I can't claim that there was something wrong with the gauge. I wish I could, but I can't. The gauge is fine. I wasn't paying attention. I remembered going, when we were on our way out, that I needed to get gas before we left Pine Tops. But I was so interested in talking with my friend that I forgot to get gas. And we got all the way through Wake Forest, and just outside the town, we ran out of gas. Now, my friend was a monk, an Episcopalian monk, dressed in his Anglican habit, black flowing robe. I was dressed in a black suit and clerical collar, kind of like I am today. Not with the robe on, but with a coat. Here we are, looking like two Catholic priests stuck out in the middle of Baptist country. With no gas. Pulled over to the side of the road with the car going, and I looked at Eldridge, and Eldridge looked at me. And just as we got out of the car, five cars pulled off to the side of the road to help us. God bless them all. One took me to get gas while the other stayed with Eldridge at the car, and we got gas and came back and fueled up and left. If I had been paying attention to what was going on and hadn't been too busy paying attention to what I wanted to do, I would have noticed that I was running low on gas and at least stopped in Wake Forest to get some more. But instead, I was focusing on something else. Instead of doing what should have come first, which was paying attention to driving and paying attention to my gas gauge. Frequently, we'll get so excited about something that we'll leap out without paying attention to our spiritual gas gauges. Like the foolish bridesmaids, we'll leap out without any oil in our lamps. We might want to be singing, "Give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. give me oil for my lamp, I pray. But instead, we're singing, give me wax for my board. Or give me beans for my burrito. The youth know that those alternate versions. They're not here. The youth know the alternate versions of that song. Give me wax for my board. Keep me surfing for the Lord. Give me beans for my burrito. I think God is really neato. Instead of paying attention, instead of getting oil for our lamp, we're worried about the beans on our burritos, the wax for our board. Instead of paying attention to what the bridesmaids should have been paying attention to, five of them got their lamps and went and waited. Now, you can't fault them for waiting. They're doing what they're supposed to do in that regard. They're waiting for the bridegroom. Now, who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Yes, good. Jesus is the bridegroom. And they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they don't have any oil in their lamps. Now, five of the wise ones, they had oil for their lamps. Now, I noticed something, in, you know, those things that you read the Bible through in 82 and 92 and 2002, and you don't see it until finally you read it, and it goes, bam! And you notice it for the first time after 20 readings, or having preached on it five times in my case. All 10 fell asleep. All 10 fell asleep waiting for the bridegroom. Uh-huh. Absolutely. As the bridegroom was delayed, verse 5, all of them became drowsy and slept. All of them became drowsy and slept. You can have oil for your lamp, or you can have no oil for your lamp. Waiting for the bridegroom. Waiting for the bridegroom can be an exhausting proposition. Nothing was more boring than sitting in the surgical waiting room, waiting for my mother when she was having her mastectomy. I didn't think they'd ever come out and give us news. I praise God that with my brother and my nephew and my dad, we also had Gerald and Marcia there. Thank you. Sitting with us, helping us pass the hours that it took for them to do the operation. Waiting is exhausting. Waiting is exhausting. And I'm sure these 10 bridesmaids, the foolish and the wise, were waiting and watching with anticipation and looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom. They couldn't wait for him to get there, but waiting is exhausting, and even the five wise ones fell asleep. That means, my sisters and brothers, that it is possible for us, even though we have the oil, it is possible for us, even though we have prepared by taking the oil with our lamp, it is possible for us, too, to fall asleep. It's possible for us, too, to doze off while waiting for the bridegroom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come. We can have the best intentions and even have our oil, and we can still fall asleep. My brothers and sisters, which of the bridesmaids are you? Now that we're all snoozing in our pews, which of the bridesmaids are you? Are you a wise one with oil? Or are you a foolish one with none? Have you checked your oil lately? And I don't mean the oil in your car, silly. I mean the oil of God's spiritual life in you. The oil of God's love and Holy Spirit. The oil of God's grace. The oil of the real presence of Jesus Christ in your life, which can keep you burning at the feast. Have you checked your oil lately? Do you have any oil? And if you don't, why not? There are times when I know I wake up on Sunday morning, assuming I have woken up and not have been awake all night, that I don't have any oil. And I need some desperately. Have you checked your oil lately? Do you have any to burn when the feast comes? What is the status board on the dashboard of your life doing? Is it blinking empty? Or do you have oil? Because you see, pretty soon, there's going to be a shout. Look, here comes the bridegroom. Here comes the groom. He's coming. Here comes the groom. Get your lamps ready. Here comes the groom. Get your oil ready. Whoops, no oil. Note, this was at midnight. And they didn't have 24-hour Walmarts, my friends, to go and buy their oil in. They'd have to go wake up the shop owners to buy some oil. And apparently that's what they did. And when they come and knock at the door, what does Jesus do? He answers it and says, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." What that means, friends, is that if you've waited until midnight, if you've waited until the groom is coming, if you've waited and waited and waited until the very end to get your oil, you've waited too long. If you've waited and waited and waited, and he's coming, and you wanted to trim your lamp, and you don't have any oil, and we stingy wise ones don't want to give you any, and you go to buy some from the vendors, and you come back and bang on the door, you've waited too long. I was asked one day, "Greg, is it possible to get into heaven making your confession of faith and sin and accepting God's forgiveness on your deathbed?" Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. But are you willing to cut it that close? Are you willing to take the risk that you won't get it in time? Are you willing to cut it that close to the end that you might go before you make your confession, before you get your oil? Are you willing to wait so long and so close to midnight in your life that it's 10 minutes to midnight and you don't have any oil? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to risk it all and have Jesus say to you, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I don't know you"? Have you checked your oil? Do you have any? Is your lamp ready? People of Israel thought their lamp was. We heard in our Joshua reading this morning, they proclaimed, "We will serve the Lord." Now, they were warned time and time again that God is a jealous God and that He would not accept mixed allegiances. He wouldn't accept a double altar, an altar to Him and an altar to Baal in His temple. He would not accept split allegiances. Worship only Him. Now, Joshua didn't believe it. He knew, he saw what happened during the years in the wilderness. He knew they wouldn't be able to do it. They claimed they could. And we, knowing the end of the story, know they couldn't. Because by the time Jesus came, they were without any oil. They were asleep at the wheel. And their dashboard was blinking. "Pay attention, pay attention. You don't have any oil." And it turned midnight the first time, and most of the people of Israel did not see Jesus. Oh, they saw a rabbi who they tried to kill and succeeded. But they didn't see their Messiah for whom they were watching. They didn't see Jesus because they didn't have the oil. In his second coming, in his return, do you have any oil? How is your spiritual life? Are you accessing God's grace through the means of grace? Are you accessing His love and His peace and His strength and His power through the Word of God, through the hymns and the worship life of the church, through the sacraments of baptism and communion? Are you accessing the means of grace to fill up your oil reservoir? Or is your oil running low? Or do you have any at all? My brothers and sisters, we're quickly coming to the end of this season after Pentecost, this common time in the life of the church in which we have an opportunity to view and to know what it means to live in the kingdom of God by hearing message after message after message about forgiveness and unity and grace and peace. Are you ready now to enter into Advent and look for the coming Messiah, your coming Lord and King? Or is your oil running low? My brothers and sisters, it's 10 minutes to midnight. It's 10 minutes to midnight. Have you checked your oil? Do you need to go buy some more before the groom comes? Are you running low? Or did you ever have any at all? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.